Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, 7,000 Club. Oh, my goodness. We have a special guest tonight. You know, I advertised on the other night, Wednesday night, that we're going to deal with the sororities and Christianity. Is there a compatibility there? So we have a young man, oh, he's something else. That's Pastor G. Craig Lewis. He is something else. I want you to pay close attention because he's going to give us some pertinent information that will help us to understand that some of this stuff that we're involved in, it is an impossible marriage. So I introduce to you now the Pastor G. Craig Lewis. God bless you, sir.
Yes, sir. Good to be here with you. Just want to say thank you for who you are in my life, my personal life, and just appreciate you being that authority or that accountability for so many. In this time, I think this time, the time of the internet, the time of the whole self governing mindset where people are only subject to themselves and they feel they can do whatever they want, or they can extrapolate whatever they want out of the word and interpret it their own way. Mm-hmm. I just think that we lack authorities, as Paul said, we lack true fathers. We got all these teachers, but we don't have
not many fathers.
They're not submitted to authorities that can keep molding them and shaping them. And, you know, I just believe in that wholeheartedly. I believe every man needs to answer to somebody so that he can stay on track and make sure that what he's doing, not only what he's doing for God, but what he's doing in his personal life lines up with him. So that's really
important. I like to add to that. I said the other night that every man need a friend that will tell him you can't do that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's right. Every man need a you can't do that friend.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
No, that's true. And when you reach a level of prominence or fame or level of finances and different things, you begin to think sometimes that, you know, you are your own governor, and then the people you surround yourself with, you're like, what was his name? Rehoboam in the Bible surrounded himself and didn't listen to the wise counsel. Yeah. He listened to his friends. The Bible says he listened to the folks he grew up with. And because they have, it's a conflict of interest. They're not going to tell you the truth. They're going to tell you what's going to benefit them. And
what
so,
you wanna hear. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so, I think it's important, and so I just want to appreciate you for being one of the ones that, you know, handled me in that regard. At the same time, I believe that this situation with this Greek fraternity and sorority, it's a very touchy subject in African-American community because it stems from inferiority. And I'm going to take you back just a little bit biblically to kind of show where mm-hmm. this mindset comes from and why it is so dangerous to the body of Christ. And, you know, I want to approach this from a standpoint of I really do care about people. I care about the Church of God in Christ. Grew up in it, roots in it, in it, elder in it. My dad was a superintendent in it, bishop friends in it. I preached at most of the bishop churches when I first started. I preached at all the general board members churches doing the truth behind hip hop. So my roots are in this church, and I want to see, I don't want to see them deceived. And so that's what this is about. This is about just uncovering some things that need to be uncovered so that the deception, you know, will not get the best of the young people, because that's who it affects. It, you know, it affects the generation that's coming up. So I got some slides on the show from my, you know, from my Truth Behind Hip Hop series at exministries.com. We have that full series, 13 parts, but these are some slides I've just pulled out to kind of share. And I want to kind of start there with, can you pledge as a believer? I'm going to take you kind of through this. First thing I want to show you is Ezekiel 20:7. It says, then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abomination of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And, you know, Egypt, of course, we know that God cursed Egypt. He cursed everything in Egypt because Egypt is who enslaved his people. And so we know that curse migrated from Egypt to Babylon. Then that curse migrated from Babylon to, to Europe and to Rome. And now that curse resides in Great Britain. And through the kings and queens of Great Britain, they are still a part of that bloodline. They still claim it. They say they are the descendant of the Egyptian kings and queens and different things. And it's so funny, you know, black folks, you know, we are some funny people, boy. When we get down on ourselves or whatever, we go to reaching for pharaohs and calling our uncles pharaohs and trying to relate ourselves to the queens of Egypt and all of that, trying to feel better about ourselves. We're descendants of kings and queens, but we don't realize that by claiming a cursed thing, you begin to curse your own future or your own lineage by claiming things that are cursed. And these things in Egypt are abominations. That's why nothing exists today. It's all ruins because of God's curse. And so when we reach back and try to pull something out of there to feel better about ourselves, we're actually bringing a curse upon ourselves, because these idols of Egypt are things that we are not supposed to mingle with according to the word of God.
All right.
So the divine nine, this is the, you know, the nine black BGLOs, black Greek letter organizations. Unfortunately, these are little babies right here on this picture, but their parents are already preparing them. So when they get a certain age, they'll pledge into it. And it's very sad to see, because people are pledging in this, not doing any background history, not understanding where it came from. But this is the Divine Nine that they call them, the black Greek letter organizations. I can't name them all off of memory, but we're going to talk about them all in this. But 1 Corinthians 10:20 says, no, I mean that what the pagan sacrifice is to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be partners with demons. And when we say Paul was saying demons here, he was speaking of Greek gods. He was speaking of the gods and goddesses that were worshipped in the temple of Diana that the Corinthians were mingling with. He was talking about them. Do not go in unto them. Do not claim them. And every one of these signs you see these kids doing, they're actually claiming one of these false gods from Greece, or one of these Greek gods. And that's why they call them Greeks. They call themselves Greeks. That's why you can't be a Greek and a Christian, because to claim Greek, you claim the gods of Greeks, starting with Zeus and all the gods on Mount Olympus,
right.
All of them, which we're going to talk about them in just a second. Deuteronomy 32:17 says, they sacrificed to demons that were no gods, to gods they have never known, to new gods they had come recently, whom your fathers had never dreaded. So the Bible is specific here. God is telling his people, separate yourself and don't go after these false idols or these false gods. You cannot. You can't do that and be with the true and living God. He said that you shall have no other God before me. But these are demons that they're sacrificing to. Every pledgee, every person that pledges has to read off pledges and go through rituals so that these false gods will so-called accept them. They have to claim the name of them. They have to speak the names of them. They have to step to them. They have to dance to them and step to them sacrificially. Then they have to be hazed and go through a process of being embarrassed. And I tell people all the time, to come to Christ, all we have to do is humble ourselves. But whenever you come to the devil, you have to humiliate yourself. And that is what the hazing is. It takes them through a humiliating, demeaning process in order to be accepted by these pagan gods.
Wow.
Yeah. And so this is Pergamum. So you see this is what they call the altar of Zeus. The Bible calls this the seat of Satan. This was in Pergamum. Revelations 2:13 says, when he was talking to the church at Pergamum, he said, I know thy works. This is Jesus judging the angels of each one of the churches in Asia. He says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is.
Right.
Now understand, Satan's seat is the altar of Zeus. This is the place where whenever a human entity elevate himself up as a god, he wants to sit in the altar of Zeus or the seat of Satan. They all want to be Satan's son, Apollo. That's who sits in this seat. Well, these are Greek gods we're talking about. Zeus, Apollo, all of them, you know, and they believe the Antichrist will be Apollo. This is what they believe in these secret societies, and this is who they pray to and worship. But this, you see this excavation of this, this was taken out of Pergamum and placed in Berlin, Germany, so that Hitler could sit on it. So Hitler had excavated because he believed he was Apollo. But I got something worse than that. Do you know who had a replica of this built to do his inauguration speech at the to get the nomination for a Democratic, get the Democratic Party nomination to be president? Obama. So Obama actually had a replica of this seat of Satan built so he could sit on it and be the chosen one and be Apollo. So that's how this Greek thing goes. It goes all the way back to where the Bible calls it the seat of Satan, but it is really the altar of Zeus. Satan and Zeus are the same thing. That's why Zeus has the lightning bolt, because Satan fell from heaven like lightning. Zeus always carries the lightning bolt. He's not God. He's Satan.
Yeah, my goodness.
And the sister circle, this is another demonic thing that many women have done and cursed their children. They've cursed their marriage. They've made their husbands, you know, just messed up mentally. They made their children just go away from God and get into all kinds of stuff because they perform what they call a sister circle at their weddings. They gather around and they pray or they say a ritual or a chant or something during the wedding, and they surround the bride so that you cannot marry the bride without marrying the sorority.
Wow.
So the man actually marries the sorority. This brings all kinds of curses onto the man, brings all kinds of physical ailments to his body, from prostate cancer to just all kinds of things I've seen that we've had to pray over and cast out of men who were a part of these ceremonies, because these women will emasculate you spiritually. And they become the head of the house, the leader of the home, and their sisters become more important to them than their own families. These women will abandon their children in a heartbeat to go to one of these society, you know, sorority meetings or whatever. But they gather around with candles usually during the wedding. They'll gather around the bride with candles, and they'll sing the song of, you know, I call it a siren song, because they'll sing the song of one of these goddesses at the actual wedding and literally spiritually curse the wedding. And here's the thing, what curse the marriage. But here's the thing, Dr. Carter, what people don't realize, you know, when you come to Christ, when we're talking Christ, church,
right,
we're talking God, Jesus, this is spiritual, right?
Right.
Isn't it
right.
all spiritual? So
yes.
if we're talking spiritual things, when we're talking about I'm saved, I'm coming to the church, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, then how do you enter spiritual things from the other side and think it's not going to have an effect? You're
right.
entering the opposition into it. So if you got, you know, if we got the spirit of Christ and then you are messing with these siren spirits, these diva spirits, because diva means goddess. Okay, so when these women call themselves divas and they're really calling themselves goddesses from Greeks, the Greek goddesses and all of this stuff. So when you enter that in, how do you expect there to be a marriage between light and dark? How do you expect there to be harmony between bitter and sweet? It just can't happen. So either
light
your salvation is not spiritual or, you know, or you're trying to mix two things that are impossible to bring together.
Right.
And this passage in Isaiah 4:1 says, and in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man. We will eat our own bread and provide our own apparel. This is the women, you know, announcing themselves as we're our own providers. We don't need men to provide. And they're saying now by the year 2030, 50% of the working women will be single, never married with no kids in our world. By 2030, that's what they're predicting. Right now, you know, women outnumber men in the workforce. For the first time in history, there are 62% of women in the workforce now, outnumbering the men who's only at 48%. And that's never happened before. But this is the plan. This is the curse. So in Isaiah, he's saying, these women are saying, seven women shall take hold of one man, meaning we're going to outnumber the men, and then we're going to take care of ourselves, provide for ourselves. Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach of being unmarried. So they want to take the man's name. And people don't realize, even at this wedding where they're doing this satanic stuff, a lot of these women won't even take their husband's last name without keeping their own name. So they want their name and the husband's name. And they don't realize the Bible said, you know, in the beginning, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam, meaning the woman takes on the identity of the man, right? But these sororities keep the woman's identity. So she never lets go of her premarital identity. And when you don't do that, then there's two identities in the marriage and somebody's unnecessary. And it's always the man.
Wow, my goodness.
And so also Paul calls this the table of devils. He said in 1 Corinthians 10:21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. What devils is he talking about? Greek gods. He's talking about the Greek gods. So this is the scripture that just totally wipes out the notion that you can be a Christian and be in a Greek fraternity or sorority. And here's my thing, doctor. Why would I go through all this old sexual demonic junk to get in there? All of this old, you know, hazing and dancing and these club parties, stepping, everybody, you know, hot, stanky and sweaty, and we all at these old crazy parties. Why would I even want to enter that into my Christian walk? That's something about my past. You know, there are things about all of our past that we don't want going alongside of us in our current journey.
Old things are cast away, right?
That's what the Bible says. So why are you holding on to it? It's because when you come to Christ, he says you are a new creation, meaning you have a new identity and a new responsibility to that identity.
But
the fraternities and sororities are lodged in your life to not give, so that you won't give yourself up for that new identity. So you're basically, it's like, you know, spraying cologne on a pig. I mean, you know, pig is still going to stink, and the pig is going to change the smell of the cologne. It ain't going to smell as good.
There you go.
And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to spray Christianity on what they really want to be. What they really, where their heart really is with the Greek gods. But because I have a conviction about Christianity, I want to claim that so I don't go to hell. But my heart is really with these false gods, or I would have abandoned them a long time ago.
Yes.
And so this feminist goddess complex comes from the sororities. And to understand this, the exoneration of women and the emasculation of men, this is Callie. This is Callie, and she's standing on Shiva, who is the male counterpart. Then she's got his head cut off, dripping in a pan. She has aborted fetuses all around her neck. She represents feminist power. Well, this goddess is the same goddess that governs the sororities. This is really Athena, who is Ashtoreth, who is Semiramis. It just got spread throughout different cultures because of the Tower of Babel. So the Tower of Babel actually spread all of these cultures and mixed them up because they were all believing one thing, the Bible says. And by believing that one thing, they were able to create this portal into another dimension. And God says, I got to stop them. So he stopped them, and he confounded their languages and changed them so that they would scatter. Well, when they scattered, they all took the stories of Semiramis and Nimrod, and they just created their own versions of them. They're all parallel. They're the same story. So in every culture, each culture has a supreme goddess and a god that is governed by the supreme goddess. Well, the Greeks, it is Zeus. And because it's Zeus in the Greek, Zeus had a Athena is the one who overpowers Zeus. So Athena is the leader. And when you become Q-Dog, which is I forgot their name. The Q Dogs, the Kappa, all of these different ones. When they read their actual documents, to pledge into their fraternities, these are the men. All of them go back to them worshiping or being under Athena. So Athena is, you know, Semiramis, the Queen of Heaven, according to the Bible. And let me read this. Zeus is Satan and Apollo is the Antichrist, his son. But Athena is the female equivalent of Zeus since she was born out of his head. So the story is Zeus swallowed his first wife, who was already pregnant. This is mythology, but we know mythology is nothing but the tale of the demons, all of the stuff that happened during Genesis 6 before God flooded the world, all of the, you know, the Nephilim and those kind of things. But Zeus swallowed his first wife, who was already pregnant, with Athena. When the time came, Zeus started feeling tremendous headaches. So this woman started supposedly boring in his head. And even it got so bad he couldn't even bear it. So Hephaestus struck him with his axe, and lo and behold, Athena leaped out of Zeus's head, fully armed and with a cry so mighty and fearsome that Uranus and Gaia were shaken to the bones with terror. Zeus was delighted and full of pride. So basically it's saying that a woman was in his head and created the whole universe in his head. So the woman is actually queen over the men. So all these fraternities and sororities is just the recreation of the woman over the man. And that's why in their marriages and their relationships, you always see women taking authority over men. Semiramis was the wife of Nimrod, which is Ashtoreth and Tammuz. First Kings tells us, for Solomon even went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidians and Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So Nimrod was supposedly married to Semiramis. Then when he died, she supposedly gave birth to him again. And then she began to rule as the queen of heaven over him. And that's what all of these Greek stories, all of these Greek parallels, they were all created from that particular story. This gave birth to all the women goddesses, and it created the false gods of all cultures that empower women and raise them up before men. This also effeminates men and causes them to serve the woman or be second to her. Just like Revelations 2 and 20, when he was judging the church at Thyatira, he said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast suffered the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants. All this is them seducing God's servants by bringing this feminist Jezebel spirit into the church, dancing and partying and all of this, but they don't realize that all they're doing is empowering the women and emasculating the men, which is not God's order, and it will totally destroy your church.
Wow.
And then I'm going to finish with this, but our culture is the same today. Liberty is Athena in our in America. And America pays homage to the goddess on capital, on the Capitol building ceiling. So if you walk into the Capitol building and look on the rotunda, you'll see Athena. And you'll see George Washington, them worshiping her. The founding fathers were in secret societies or secret orders that pledged to female goddesses.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And so black Greeks are all derivatives of this same worship. You pledge to false goddesses and perform rituals to get in. It's all for pride and prominence. You basically strive to be the best and better than others. And this is a sin. God never told us to be the best. He always wants us to do our best. Striving to be the best is a sin because that's pride.
Right, pride.
Men, and then men are emasculated by women in these circles. Women are promoted to strive, get in debt, and basically sacrifice the well-being of their own children to follow the orders of the goddesses that they pledge to. This has no place in the church or in God's people. And this is how David said it, and I'm closing with this. He said, Psalms 115 and 5, they have mouths, they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet they have, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. And there's the thing. They that make all of these idols or pledge to these idols are like unto them, empty.
When
they can't hear, they can't smell, they can't see. They're empty. So is everyone that trusteth in them. You can't trust in the true and living God, doctor, and trust in what a goddess or a false god is going to do for you through a fraternal order. You just cannot do it.
Man. Kojic, we need to bring some discipline, because this information to me, it means that what I saw at the AIM convention, where some of the ministers were doing the signs and they were celebrating their membership or their connection with the sororities. And what you celebrate, you validate.
That's right.
And now I understand why you have so many men like Ahab, all right, that have been emasculated, and Jezebel stirred him to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Then you got these pastors that make their wives co-pastors. And some, they become the pastor and the bishop, and they ordain their husbands, all right, to be the pastor. I mean, it's just, it's just too much. But man, this information, and information is power. Education is power. What this man has, I'm telling you, he just know this stuff. He can just spew this stuff out all day long, because he's given us through the study. And I thank God for his scholarship and the fact that he loves the Lord and he wanted to come on. I wanted him to come on because of what I saw. And so, Pastor, you did a fantastic job. And I think you in the state of Kenosis where you can receive accolades and not feel puffed up. So I thank God for you. Man, I'm happy. So I thank God for you, man.
Yes, sir.
Can I do something,
Doctor? I just want to do a prayer for the people were influenced by it, so that it doesn't keep going. You know, it's hard sometimes to pull people out of this because they're, you know, they're so ingrained with it. And the biggest part of us as African-American, we don't like to admit when we're wrong. So a lot of them, because their roots were in it and they got their kids in it, they don't really ever say, well, maybe that wasn't a good idea, you know, because they feel like I'm so far into it. But there is a generation that will see that and may be influenced by that video of Kojic or whatever. And I wanna say a prayer for them, because we want to keep as many kids out of this foolishness as we can.
Please. Yes.
Father God, we just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father God, just for being God. I thank you, God, that we are all just humans, Lord. We're with error. Many of us have error. Many of us have, you know, done things that we're regretful for. But God, because of your love, your grace, your mercy, you always clean us up when we come to you, and you always fix it and make what is wrong right.
Lord.
You make us new creations. You just give us new mercies every day. And God, we're praying right now for that same mercy, Lord, to rest upon a young person or an old person that would hear this message, God, and receive the conviction of the Holy Ghost in their heart. And God, decide to not bring false gods into their lives. Father God, decide to take your path instead of the path of the devil, to take your path instead of the path of Zeus and Athena and all of these false gods with no mouths and no eyes, so that they won't be like them and won't be able to see and won't be able to hear. Father God, we pray right now for them.
Yes,
and we rebuke every seducing spirit that came from that video that was posted, God. That video of them celebrating in the church, celebrating them in church attire, throwing up signs to the devil right in the church, God. We rebuke every spirit, every seducing spirit, every foul spirit that would cause any young person to see that and desire that. We cancel the assignment of the enemy that tried to use that video to promote something that should not be promoted in your church. Father God, these things should be taken out of the church. They cannot dwell within the church, Father God. Where there is light, there cannot be darkness. So we pray right now that you would just continue to make us the light of the world and the salt of the earth.
Yes, Lord.
So we can help these young people, God, in their struggle through these end times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, the Bible, one of my favorite scriptures, Ephesians 5 and 11, it says, have no fellowship, koinonia, having things in common. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove, which is to expose.
Yes, sir.
The devil don't like to be exposed.
Yes.
He's like Dracula. He hates light.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but the light has shone, and God has showed us what is right,
yes, sir,
and what is holy.
Yes.
So we, you know, I think the whole thing is that what fellowship have light with darkness, and the world, or even this demonic underworld. There is no fellowship we should have, and it is an impossible marriage.
Yes, sir.
It will never work.
It'll never work.
Never work.
Never work. Never work.
I'm telling you.
And I have example after example of people that have tried to have this marriage, and in every case, there are kids that are messed up out of it. The marriage is usually messed up out of it, or someone is physically sick. You know, when the spirit of Jezebel is there, people don't realize, but the Bible says he would cast Jezebel in her bed, which was her sick bed. And so when you bring that spirit in, women actually get sick. Their reproductive systems go haywire.
Wow.
All kinds of things happen. So this is some dangerous stuff that people are trying to mix in, mixing the holy with the profane. I mean, mixing the holy or the sacred with the profane.
Yeah.
They don't really realize what they're doing. Yeah. So this is good that you did this. I think everyone needs to hear.
Oh, yeah. I thank God for you. Because when we were talking, I said, I don't know what you know to the extent.
Yes.
I know some stuff. I know the devil is, he is the author of confusion. And I know about Jezebel. I equate Jezebel with that hen on the barnyard.
Yes, sir.
Trying to take over the rooster. And that's the same thing.
Yes, sir.
We got these hen-pecked men, I'm telling you, rooster-pecked wives, and dancing girls, and rambling boys. That's right.
Yes,
So that covers the whole family. But I am so excited. And you that will expose yourself to this information, you walk in the light as the light is shown.
Yes, sir.
You got to walk in the light. You're no longer innocent once you learn the truth.
Yes,
and
sir.
Truth makes you free.
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to use this as a platform to rebuke all of those who are involved in these sororities. Because a lot of our people, they don't read. They just get emotional.
Mm-hmm.
It's the herd mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going? Well, come on, just follow us.
Mm-hmm.
No, I need to know where the herd is going.
Yes,
you
sir.
Know? Yeah. So, man, I'm so happy. I am so happy. And we're going to have it on tonight at 7:30. That's right. That is
you announcing
7,000.
Like, you're announcing it like people are here.
Well, that's the way I... You know, I've been programmed. Because I used to do my program live, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm acting like, you know, well, tonight, you know.
On tonight. Well, yes.
Yeah, on tonight. We on now, all right?
Yeah, we on now, yes.
Yeah,
sir.
We are on now. Thank you yes, for sir. That correction, man. I'm so excited.
Yes, sir.
Woo!
Yes, sir.
I'm so excited.
Yeah,
well, you can close it. Yeah.
Got it.